Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 305. You know, it's a pretty good show when you're 2 hours away from the trade deadline and Bernie Miklas is your guest. Been reading and listening to Bernie forever, and we welcome him back to the airwaves. Bernie, thanks for taking some time for us today. We appreciate it.
That's wonderful to be with you. Longtime admirer and fan, and thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. That means the world. Pretty cool. Bernie Miklas knows who I am. That's cool.
He's also one of the only people on Earth that knows what you guys go through in dealing with me on a day-to-day basis.
Amen, brother.
Bernie would have a morning show and he'd be wrapping it up and he's getting tired and here comes Hurricane Wheeler all loud and wild.
That's great. What a team. So I can talk to Wheeler, I can talk to Ricky Horton, I can even talk to Joe Buck. I don't have my Bernie Miklas sea legs yet, so I'm going to throw you over to your old pal Wheels. Take it over.
So, Bern, great stuff, by the way. And for people that are looking for Bernie's stuff, obviously, scoopswithdannymac.com, and you've been writing there for a long time now. But really enjoyed your breakdown on the trade yesterday. And if you want to just go like a Cliff's Notes version of this, it seemed like every baseball analyst is like, this is a really good deal for the Cardinals.
Yeah, they've been universally praised, Wheels, no doubt about it. Listen, when you can get not only Eric Fetty, who's having an excellent season and can certainly fill a need and make them stronger in the rotation, you can get him and you can get Tommy Pham, a guy that's not only he's got a great career record hitting left-handed pitchers, which is a Cardinal weakness, but also has a tremendous postseason history if they should be fortunate enough to make the playoffs. You get two of those guys, you don't have to part with any prospects that matter. And you know, Tommy Edman at this point had become expendable, not to knock him, but they can cover what they had hoped that he was going to do for them. They already have people covering it, so even financially the Cardinals were able to in effect come out of this ahead. So really there's nothing, even if you were looking to nitpick something in the deal, there's really nothing there to nitpick. I thought it was really nice work by John Mozeliak in the front office.
You know, Bern, a lot of us, you and I, we've had these different conversations at various points over the years, but one thing that the Cardinals have been really good at, and I think this is really an undeniable thing, because we can talk about the struggles to develop top-end pitching here the last handful of years, the struggles to develop star prospect hitters from their own organization, but one thing they're always good at is finding another Tommy Edman or Brendan Donovan or somebody along those lines. And I know you mentioned Thomas DeJacy today in your piece at Scoops with Danny Mac. I mean, they're going to have more guys like that.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why, I think everyone really respected and liked Tommy Edman. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, at this point, he's 29 years old. He can become a free agent after next season. I'm not saying he's done or anything like that, but he gets, as you know, Wheels, he gets banged up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think question about him going forward. I mean, physically, how viable is he going to be? Are injuries going to become even more of a factor? They're certainly a huge factor this year. So you instead, you get a pitcher in the deal, Eric Fetty, who will be with you next season. I mean, so you have that peace of mind of knowing you got a really good starting pitcher locked in for 2025. And then you kind of just have to wait and see where it goes from there. But just to have that extra term, you're not renting him. You have him all next season. So that gives you some flexibility. Maybe some of the decisions you're going to make on Lance Lynn or, you know, Kyle Gibson.
Right.
Some other. So, it's just all across the board. It made perfect sense.
So, Bern, let's talk about today. I mean, we've got a couple hours. There's a good bit of buzz out there about teams being interested in Dylan Carlson. And it seems like, and we won't know this until the deadline passes and there either is or isn't a deal, but it seems like the way he's being valued now is maybe a rental reliever.
Yeah, it all depends who the rental reliever is, but I think you and I are on the same page here. I at this point, you didn't expect them to get much anyway. I think the more intriguing thing are basically the teams that are after him, because they see a lottery ticket there.
Yep.
I mean, they see a guy who's still 25. They see a guy who was once a really good young player. And they see a guy that's been injured a lot. And so if you're a Mike Rizzo, let's say in Washington, or the guy out with the Angels, and you look at him, you say, well, first of all, nothing personal, but the Cardinals have kind of given up on outfielders before, and they do better when they leave, coincidence or not. And the other thing is this kid hasn't been able to stay healthy. What happens if we can keep him healthy? There's some stuff there. There's some gold to mine.
Yeah.
That's how another team would see it, and I can understand why they would view him that way. But I think he's reached the end of the line with the Cardinals, though.
Bernie, yesterday Ackerman had Joe Buck on, and you know Joe always speaks his mind, and he said basically the Cardinals got to do what they can do by the trade deadline, but no moves that they're able to make are going to make up for Arenado and Goldschmidt not playing up to their potential. And we brought that up to Ricky Horton today, and he had an interesting take that everyone, including Mutual, went from a great player to a good player. Where would you say these guys are in their path?
I'm actually, Dave, more concerned about Arenado only because he's under contract for a lot of money to the Cardinals through 2027. I mean, their commitment to Goldie, their relationship with Goldie is, you know, technically ends at the end of the season. And Goldschmidt's having a good July. If you look at his numbers, I won't read numbers, but he's having, by relative to what happened the first 3 months, Goldie's doing well in July. Arenado, though, seems to be, what's the term? An old 33, yeah. You know, I think he's in the decline phase, and it's a matter of whether he can sort of keep it at a respectable or a good level. But I've lowered my expectations. I mean, I think we all want to get caught up in this, like, well, hey, if only Arenado can bounce back, if only Goldie can bounce back. And I understand the wish casting there, but with both of these guys, you just sort of have to take them for what they are now. And they're still both capable. If we're talking about a playoff push here, sorry, they're still capable of getting hot for 3 or 4 weeks that in a way that would really make an impact. I mean, Goldie's slugging .485 this month. He's been making an impact lately. So that's what you hope for. You hope that there can be – each one of them has a good run left in him between now and the end of the regular season.
You know, Bern, we've talked a lot over the years about different times when you hit the phase of decline, right? Like Paul Goldschmidt, for example, as you point out, he still hits the ball hard. Like that's not, he's just hitting the ball less frequently than he used to, which is leading to the decrease in numbers. But Nolan's not hitting the ball hard. And, you know, we've seen how injuries that don't necessarily become quote unquote injuries, but they're just something that sets off a chain, can change the course of a player's career even when they've recovered, right? Because Nolan had the back problems last year, and he hasn't been the same since that. And that doesn't mean he's injured, but it can change how your body moves. It can change how your swing works. And we saw that with Albert with the leg injuries. And we saw that, you know, maybe a more extreme version would be Alan Craig, where the foot injury seemed to be the crux of everything that went wrong after that. Is that your worry?
Right.
That maybe his body has changed, even if he's not hurt, but that something changed and it may be difficult to get it back?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And the thing with one of the other things I wonder about with Arenado, and this is not really a criticism, it's an observation. You know, he's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been around guys like this in different sports. Sometimes I wonder if it's maybe works against you if you're overly intense. I mean, Arenado never shuts it down. He never depresses. He works his body. He works his swing. He works. Now, you really admire that. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can. But I think he sort of works himself into a frazzle sometimes. And that, I could be full of hot air by saying that. But that's always something when I watch him I wonder about. He seems to be very distressed a lot, whereas Goldie, I think, rides with it a little better. So we'll see. The thing with Goldie, real quick, the thing about him that in his performance that mystifies me this year is that, you know, the on-base percentage is so low. It's historically low. He takes so many called strikes, and I've documented that through StatCast. He takes so many strikes. So sometimes, and you know, we all know that I don't know, but I wonder what he's looking at, because I'm just there's pitches that go by that you're like, wow, that was on a tee, and he wasn't looking for it. So I don't know whether because of some of the problems he's trying to become more of a guess hitter. I have no idea, but that's been a major problem, or at least a major part of why he's having a down year.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. I don't know nearly as much about baseball as you guys, but I know about being a gitchy mofo, and I know about having OCD and ADD and every other letter behind my name, and he just doesn't look comfortable in the box. And it seems like when he gets a hard shot at third, he's money, but when he has time to think about it is when he gets in trouble.
And he doesn't wear his frustration very well. I mean, you know, anybody watching him, and it's not like he's throwing a tantrum or anything, but anybody watching him, whether it be on TV or whether you're at the ballpark and you got a sight line in the dugout, you can just see he doesn't even try to like conceal the fact that he is ticked off. And I mean, I don't blame him. All of a sudden, you know, you're on top of the world. You're one of the great third basemen ever. And then 1 year, it actually kind of started last year. And then all of a sudden, you're not what you used to be. That's got to be really, really difficult to deal with. Actually, I'm dealing with that now. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm still trying.
Yeah, amen, brother. Isn't it something? I'm at that stage too. Like, I don't have social media, and I don't have social media because I never grew my second skin. And I it's not like I can't take criticism. A lot of times people level criticism. I'm like, that's a really good point. But when you start losing your fastball, you got to develop the curve. You got to go Greg Maddux. And yeah, we're all kind of at that stage, right?
And I think, Dave, you know, to continue your point, and I'm going to bring Wheeler in on this, I actually think through age, there's been a huge benefit for me personally, because I work as hard as ever and do all the stuff I want to do professionally as ever. But I roll with the punches better now, too. I used to worry about, well, what's this guy saying on X? I mean, what's this? Always getting like worked up about nothing. And now it's kind of, I'm not saying I'm Gandhi, but now it's kind of like, you know, we'll just roll with it. Everything's fine. No need to get ticked off. It's okay. Take a deep breath. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned to handle that part better. Wheel, I don't know about you though, man. You're pretty hyper dude. Can you relax?
I can answer that for you.
A, never relax, but B, I get angry, but nothing gets to me.
Right.
Does that make sense? The way I'm saying, like, I fight with people on Twitter all the time, and at the end of it, I'm like, well, that was over. You know, like, that's not a thing. It's not something that sits with me after the fact.
Yeah, earlier in the show, Bernie, he said it's not road rage unless you chase someone in your car. So,
well, you know, the one thing, Dave, about Wheeler, I never could, although I got a kick out of it, is, you know, his obsession with, like, death metal music and things like that. I just, it kind of scared me a little bit because I'm like, do I really know this guy? Like, what's he like away from work? You know, what is he doing? You know, no, I'm only kidding.
I've always wanted to get you out to one of the shows with me, man. I'll get some tickets later this summer. We'll go to see Five Finger Death Punch.
I will pay for the airfare to go anywhere the three of us can go see Metallica. That would be an all-timer right there. Hey, Bernie, one last question here, running out of time. Switch it up. Are you an Olympics guy?
Yeah, but I kind of sample what I do. I record everything, and then I cherry pick and go back into what I want to see. I make sure I have everything covered. It's all there. And then I just go back, and rather than like sitting in front of TV for hours and hours and hours, I just kind of say, okay, oh yeah, I want to watch that event. So that's, With the choices available now, the way to do that, you can consume it on television. There's all kinds of ways to do it, as everybody knows, and you can really make it a much easier experience. So I do that, and you know, I'm always big on the swimming and the gymnastics and the track and field, the basketball. There's some other things too, but every time the Summer Olympics comes around, I'm like, I don't know if I'm all that into it, and then I find myself 100% into it. So it always kind of pulls me back in.
Well, we are working behind the scenes to do everything we can to make Bernie a more permanent part of KMOX over here. Bernie, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm mad about some commercials. Can I get it off my chest?
Yeah.
I'm so okay, so a lot of what I do is I do commercials, right? And I try very hard, and I pride myself on being very realistic, not a salesman, not using puffery. And so when I see it, it just makes me mad. And I get it, like, especially you want to put your best foot forward, but don't lie to me. And there's a KFC commercial, I don't know if you've seen it, where they show like a three-piece meal, and it every nuance, every molecule of the biscuit and the chicken and the coleslaw is perfect. Here's what you need to do. You need to come to downtown St. Louis, go to the KFC in our building, get a three-piece meal, take a picture of it, and put that crap on your commercial, because that's what you're going to get.
Preach.
Then there's a Walgreens commercial where the lady's looking at something because she's peeing her drawers or something like that, and the pharmacist steps out from behind the pharmacy desk, which is like a fortress. Mm-hmm. You can't get a pharmacist to talk to you, and comes out and says, like, here's what I use. Shut up! No one has ever done that once. Then there's Instacart, where their new thing is, let us overthink it for you. Where they're, I'm a milk sommelier, and you think... Shut up. People are just grabbing bread and throwing it in a cart and trying not to smash it. And, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. So you're, excuse me, I've done Instacart before. You're timed on Instacart. You have a limited amount of time per item to find it and put it in there. And if you ever say something to the person that you're delivering for, like, you know, you want 2% on here, you really should be trying whole. They'll be like,
right.
No, I want 2%. Get me the 2%
if
they have
it. Of course, because you know what you want.
Yeah.
Now, this one, you guys are going to probably disagree with me. I love dogs, but the commercial for the farmer's dog, where it's like the real dog food.
Yes.
There's one where the dog has long whiskers, like long hair, like he has basically a beard. Yeah. And then he eats that wet dog food and kisses his owner. I will kiss a dog all day long. Well, that sounded weird. I will kiss a dog, but not when they have a beard and they just ate wet food.
It's fine.
I think that's fair, yeah.
It's still fine.
I want to avoid that.
It happens sometimes.
I needed to get that off my... Oh, then there's one. These poor people who have this hand condition. Have you seen this one?
No.
Where you can't put your hand flat, and in the middle of your hand, the ligaments stick out, and the guy that has it keeps showing it to the camera, and I'm like, dude...
If you have it, you probably know you have it.
If you had them at the name of the disease, if someone's got a tendon sticking out of their palm, they've probably looked into it. And he just keeps showing it. And I'm like, I got it the first time. That's wrong. I feel bad for you, but I don't want that for me.
Do you feel better, Dave?
I do.
You got to get it out, man. I've been telling you guys forever.
I just did.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
DGS coming up at the top of the hour. We have the think tank. We have our buddy Steve Ellman. We have Chuck Summers, who's running against Ray Hartman in a congressional race. They're going to be here to talk about the all things political and current events. Dave Murray had back surgery. He says it went very well. I'm sure he'll tell you about it here in a second with his live look.
I don't think we have a live look from
Dave. Okay, no live look from Dave.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's hot today.
Yeah, he's incommunicado.
Hot and going to be hot tomorrow.
As hell.
The only thing
was when we were at lunch, I referenced a while ago in one of my lives about being afraid of having a tree fall on my house, is we were supposed to have some bad weather possibly coming through. So just, you know, keep your head on a swivel.
Well, you know, I am a trained storm spotter.
That's right.
That's true.
And I'll let you know.
95
outside. Did you spot one?
We better get him on the other side of the studio so he can see out of the window.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his back to the window now.
I'm wasted looking out this window. Yeah. I can't tell you anything.
Wheeler's looking into the newsroom like, I don't see anything.
Now I will say.
Oh, there's a tornado behind him.
Because I did that training with the National Weather Service, I made the wise decision to follow them on Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do say that we are in a severe thunderstorm watch area.
Okay.
Until 10 o'clock tonight.
And I'm not crapping on the National Weather Service, but did they teach you anything where you're like, holy crap, I had no idea about that?
Probably. Yeah. I can't remember it right now.
Hey, that's fair.
No, actually they did, because what they...
You're instilling confidence in St. Louis.
The main thing that you're taught when you're going through it, because it's just like an hour or two, it's not like this long and advanced thing, is mostly just like what to look for and as far as like what's a hook cloud and what is a real thing versus what is not a big deal, things like that.
Gotcha.
I read last night that we are the most, our general area, like not just us, but we are the, there goes the EAS alert. We are the most unpredictable weather area. Like California, even like Florida, you can accurately predict like 10 days out what the weather is going to be. But even a couple days can be hard to see.
Dave always talks about how he loved having his career in St. Louis because it was always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be really vulnerable for a minute and talk to you, the audience, about something I talked to these guys about today at lunch? Losing my mom, so I am a very anxious person to begin with. I came out of the womb anxious, hit the ground running anxious. I've always been anxiety ridden. And the last few months have been really, really tough. And then losing my mom the way that I did has made me so fragile. and just feeling like waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I've had other deaths in my life. I lost my dad. I lost my brother. I've lost some friends. But seeing it happen, like watching someone go from healthy to deceased, is a different deal. And even though she was 97, it's made me feel, it's like just waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's the next bad thing that's going to happen? And last night I was watching something, I think Olympic coverage, and there is a female water polo player who's like 27, and her husband is 30, and he's an elite athlete as well. And for his 30th birthday, he swam the English Channel.
Oh, wow.
And then he was diagnosed with a very rare kind of lung cancer, and he's terminal. He's stage four. It's only going one direction. And it freaked me out so bad. And I thought about, what if that happened to my kids? And it's as close to a panic attack as I've ever been. Like, I've heard about people having panic attacks. I don't think I've had one because they're debilitating. And a lot of times you end up in an ER or something. But it's as close as I've been. And I'm trying to work my way through it. But it's tough, you know? I mean, when things go sideways in your life and you really get hit, at least for me, you start to, I'm already hypervigilant and my radar never stops and I notice every single thing, and how can this be a bad thing? How can this be a threatening thing? And it's really becoming overwhelming.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean,
and I say that because people out there go through it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they need to know other people do.
Yeah, it's normal. I mean, like the stress of that amplifies whatever's already there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're anxious already, well, then it's going to amplify that, right? If you're, and even if you're not normally anxious, you're going to be on edge where you wouldn't be.
Right.
You know, normally you're calm and something along those lines. Then, but we also think about, too, you had the last couple of weeks, but it was more than that. It was months of that tension building up. And it'll take some time, but it'll eventually level back off.
Yeah, we're doing a private graveside ceremony, which is what my mom wanted, later on this week, and I'm hoping that there's some closure there.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of taking her all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's something to be said too about something being finished.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, we just went through the similar thing with my father-in-law. It wasn't, you know, it's not my dad, it's not my mom, but it's, you know, as close as I've known in that regard. And, you know, it didn't end for me or for my mother-in-law or for Susan. It didn't end when all of the stuff was done, right? Yeah. When the process didn't end. But then it calms down, right? It's not, there's not a project. There's not something constantly going on. Then it calms down. And obviously that's got its own negatives that go along with it too.
Yeah. And there's the aspect for anyone who's ever cared for an elderly loved one. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Maria Kina, who is so close with her mom and lived with her mom for a very long time and took care of her mom until she passed away. And we were just holding each other and bawling yesterday because, like I've said before, you not only are losing your mom, it's like getting fired from a job, because every day for 20 years and then on an hourly basis for the past 4 months, it was, okay, I'm going to go this morning. But I won't go tonight. Tonight I'm going to take off and I'm just going to watch Ancient Aliens. I'm going to go to dinner with Nick or whatever it is. And then you get a call from the facility. Your mom's having a hard day. So you go back and it's just everything. And then suddenly it just stops. It's just done. I'll never go back there again.
No, that's a good point.
It's just bizarre.
Everything about it is, right? Because it's nothing you're used to. Nobody's used to it.
No.
Who is it that we had in studio not that long ago? There were two women that were part of, was it hospice? Or no, it was somebody that wrote about like the transitioning and going through hospice.
The death doula.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I learned a lot just listening to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so sweet. I'm not going to dox him, but the funeral home that we're using over on the east side came over to pick up my mom. And, you know, we had been with her for about 3 hours after she passed away. So obviously it's emotional. Here comes the funeral home director. And when he shook my hand, his voice was cracking like mine does when I talk about my mom. And he was crying. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. And he said, in all the decades I've been doing this, I never pick someone up when I don't cry.
Oh. Wow.
Right?
That's...
Isn't that something?
That really is.
He's either in the right business or the wrong business.
But I'd say the right one.
Yeah, I would too.
So that was very sweet. Yeah. Very sweet. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Kamala Harris is now more popular than Joe Biden or Donald Trump have been at any point in the 2024 election cycle, according to a new Morning Consult poll. 50% of voters have a favorable view of Harris. 46% have an unfavorable view.
She's really having a moment, isn't she?
She is, and I'm sure it's just because everyone's relieved that she's not in her 80s.
And you know what? I'll say this much. Suddenly, Joe Biden's fine. And I don't mean like I want him to be president, because I don't, because I think he's past his prime. He's lost more than his fastball. But now that I'm no longer judging him as the president, you see him and you're like, he's okay. You know what I mean?
I get what you mean. I mean, he put his pride and his ego and his ambition aside for... probably because he was facing intense pressure,
right.
But you could also say
yeah,
for the good of the country.
It's like taking the keys away from someone with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I thought that was the perfect analogy. No one ever just willingly gives up their keys. They fight hard.
Mm-hmm. A flight was diverted after a biohazard was found on a United Airlines flight. United Airlines says a passenger's medical issue caused the flight to land in Virginia, where the plane had to be deep cleaned. Audio captured a flight crew member describing a biohazard on board the flight, saying, "It looks like it's quite bad back there. The crew is vomiting, and passengers all around are asking for masks."
We don't know what happened, though?
We don't know exactly. I mean, if they're not telling us, it's probably nothing good.
Eggs.
Dragonflies have swarmed a Rhode Island beach. Video footage captured at the beach showed thousands of the bugs buzzing through the crowded beach. They travel across North America during summer to mate, but I guess this is a particularly bad swarm, and it was caught on video. So if you want to go
look that,
that
up. I kind of like dragonflies. I don't think I'd like 10,000 of them dive bombing me, but
they're harmless. They don't bite.
I think they're beautiful, but even in my stage as a kid where I would like touch any bug, I was always scared. I was scared they're going to bite me or something.
That was praying mantises for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even though they don't even move. That's their whole thing. They
go like,
move.
They just go.
The scariest bug still to this day.
I know what you're going
to
say.
The walking stick.
The stick.
Yes. Because it's like, okay, you're telling me any of these sticks could be a bug that's going. Or like, then you see a big branch laying on the ground. You're like, what if it's a giant walking stick?
Feel you. Good thing that I'm not your age, because if we'd have been friends, we'd have freaked each other out.
We've just been like the anxiety twins.
So just picturing like
sat there rocking back and forth.
Just picturing the two of you at 8 years old,
walking stick.
Let's see here. Outdork each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have known you were in love with me, too. Just like, you know.
You have on your smoking jacket, and I'm wearing my culottes.
I'm smoking my bubble pipe. She's afraid of walking sticks, but she's okay.
So Scott Peterson is going to be in a new true crime documentary series airing on Peacock next month called Face to Face with Scott Peterson. Of course, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole in 2004 for the infamous murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey Peterson. Earlier this year, his case was taken on by the L.A. Innocence Project, whose lawyers claim that new evidence undermines his conviction.
Yeah, I wondered what happened with that, because there for a minute it seemed like he was going to get set free or something.
Mm.
I guess the Innocence Project is working on it. I'll say this. A couple of years ago, I watched a true crime about Scott Peterson, and I always had just bought into the hype that, like, there's no way he didn't do it. It was obviously him. Look, he's a bad guy. He's not a good person. He did not treat his wife well, and after she died, he was not respectful at all. But I didn't see evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that he killed her. So, I mean, this will be very interesting to see. I'll probably end up watching that. Well, I don't have Peacock, but maybe if they put it on another streaming service eventually, I will have
to
check
that out. Do what
Wheeler
does. Get it for a week.
Yeah, and then I'll just cancel it. That is a very good idea.
But you got to get a Susan to cancel it, because if you're like me, I won't remember.
Yeah, like, Susan,
will you help me? One more story here, and then we'll take a break. There may be a scientific reason behind women needing extra beauty sleep. Studies show, on average, that women require about 11 minutes more sleep per night than men do. Researchers point to hormones, since women experience a roller coaster of hormonal changes throughout their lives, from menstruation to pregnancy and menopause. Each of these stages can disrupt sleeping patterns. It also turns out that women are 40% more likely than men to suffer from insomnia.
Yeah, you guys just got it. You got a raw deal. Welcome back, guys. DG Ask. Coming up, we have Chuck Summers, who is running against Ray Hartman for the congressional seat to go against Ann Wagner. Our buddy Steve Ellman, already in studio, is going to be with us. We'll talk about all things politics and all things current events. Rach, we watched a little bit of the hearing with the acting director of the Secret Service. That was refreshing. To hear someone just own it and say, I can't defend these actions, I'm ashamed of these actions, because you don't have to be an expert in security to look at this. It's almost like a video game to look at it and say, even I would have known to make sure you have someone on those roofs. And they had pictures of this guy, 90 pictures of him 90 minutes ahead of time, sitting on a stoop from the building, and then walking over and checking the tree line. They knew that he had a rangefinder. My Lord. And they still let him take the stage.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see a suspicious character. I'm sure they find suspicious characters all the time. And then you vet them and make sure that they're okay. But this guy just got out of their sight line for 90 minutes. You don't let him take the stage until you get that guy and find out what he's up to.
Absolutely. The former president was shot at. It's time to, at that point, just admit that you failed. And it was nice to see someone acknowledge that.
Quick break, right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.